Hello, my name is Dwight Bowen. I'm president of Dwight Bowen & Associates. We specialize in Kaizen and continuous improvement. Welcome to another competing podcast.
Sponsored by Creative Slice, a green design firm specializing in smart website design for good.
Today, Competing welcomes John Shook. John learned about Lean while working for 10 years with Toyota, helping the company transfer its production, engineering, and management systems from Japan to its overseas affiliates and suppliers. As co-author of Learning to See, John helped introduce value stream mapping as the tool which allows Lean practitioners to speak in a common language. John now spends his time researching and developing Lean principles with Jim Womack, Dan Jones, and Jose Ferro as a senior advisor in the Lean Enterprise Institute. In addition, John heads up two Lean consulting groups, the TWI Network, a network of Toyota veteran Lean production practitioners, and the Lean Transformations Group, LLC, a group that focuses on total Lean enterprise transformation. And his son is a second lieutenant in the United States Marines, undergoing extensive leadership training that John finds remarkably consistent with Toyota's focus on the criticality of skill and performance of frontline supervision. John is a true sensei who enthusiastically shares his knowledge and insights with the Lean community and with those who have not yet made the leap. Good afternoon, John, and welcome to Competing Podcasts.
Hello, Dwight. Nice to talk with you.
John, we had talked earlier about your experience with the NUMMI transition in California. And I'd like you to expound a bit on how Toyota's culture and management system was initially accepted there.
Well, it's as you know, that's a famous case study, a success story. In some ways, I think it should be more famous, and one of the reasons has to do with the cultural or management element. A lot of people know of how the turnaround there happened, the 50-50 Toyota-GM joint venture. And it's in the old GM Fremont plant, which it turned out was one of GM's very worst plants back at that time in terms of both quality and also the workforce or the culture, if you will, or at least that was the reputation. The quality we know was poor by the numbers. And, you know, the old GM management blamed a lot of that on the workforce. And I was part of many late-night meetings where the there would be old debates of talking about who was it that was bad in the old days when the plant wasn't working well. Was it labor or was it management? Well, you know, no doubt it was a little bit of both in the system. So we put in place the Toyota production system, all the elements that are well known about that, you know, the stop-the-line system, the and-on, and everything else. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, in 1 year, we went from one of the very worst quality plants in GM system to the best they had. And we were putting out a quality that was equal to the Toyota's plant in Japan. And that was with the exact same workers. So that's a pretty amazing turnaround. So really, when we think about culture, I think you know, culture and work become one and the same thing. So what happened was, not only was that culture and management system accepted at NUMMI, it was accepted wholeheartedly with open arms. And I think the fact that that's true is very interesting and tells us a lot about what people are looking for. We recognize that middle management is your key to getting things done. And we both gave them the tools and the skills, as I mentioned, and a lot of training to go with it. Everyone who had a first-line supervisory responsibility went through extensive training with the system backup to make the training actually come to life. A lesser-known fact is that, you know, when a lot of the General Motors folks worked at NUMMI for a while, and they accepted and understood the culture and way of working as well, I think. Of course, when they returned home, then they were, you know, a virus in a large body. It wasn't so easy, I think, for the for GM overall to be able to bring that kind of different culture and way of working in-house. I think the last 10 years or so, General Motors has had tremendous progress, but it's certainly taken a long time for that to be able to take hold. I guess we've learned that culture just doesn't change all that quickly.
John, is it fair to say that Toyota at all facilities manages to a shared philosophy?
Well, I think so. And you and I were talking earlier, and I think you referred to the, you know, frontline supervision as kind of the sergeants and lieutenants that really kind of make things work.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really good observation. And it both reflects the way work proceeds well at Toyota. And also, you know, my own observations of working with many American companies over the years is that indeed is something that's left out.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of embracing middle management and frontline supervision, we tend to see them as just a necessary evil that we just wish wasn't there. We have a lot of smart people at the top of the house who have great ideas, we think. And if we could actually just get the middle management out of the way, we could make tremendous progress. And that's an incredible contrast, I think, to what you'll find at Toyota. And that's why I think we often find that middle management seems to be so resistant to lean transformation when we try to bring it about.
Mm-hmm.
They have very good reason, I think, not to be trusting and to be suspicious because they're not treated with respect by the organization. It's
yeah.
that frontline supervision, I think, that's so very important.
Indeed. John, in your opinion, what is the most culturally challenging aspect of implementing lean in North America?
Well, I guess in a word, I would actually say Gemba might be the most challenging thing. As we all know, word Gemba is a Japanese word for the real place or the actual place, and we use it to refer to the place of work where the real value-creating work of the company occurs. But, you know, in a way, the reason the real place is so important is because it also means reality. When we talk about Gemba, we're saying reality or even truth. There's kind of an underlying philosophy or approach of empiricism.
Mm-hmm.
It says let's not fool ourselves. Let's actually look at the situation, at each situation objectively, look at it logically and even scientifically, if you will. And to do that, you have to get out of your office. You have to step away from your monitor and your data and go observe what's really going on. And when you do that, inevitably, you will learn. Now, that sounds very simple and common sense, but a problem in implementing lean, or especially in not only implementing lean production systems, but undergoing a complete lean transformation, means senior managers have to have this outlook. We can't manage by sitting in the office and thinking that we can rule on high mm-hmm. and that we can make decisions from afar. It all gets down to problem solving and understanding the real reality that's taking place that workers are dealing with right now. So that would be one of the most culturally challenging things that I found. And that's kind of distressing because that's such a key element. And seems to me, and I think you as well, to be a very common sense thing as well.
Indeed. I always talk about leaders being noticed noticing.
Yes.
It's an easy
and, you know, it relates to another thing, I think, about how we try to manage. We do have a lot of smart people in management in this country, but sometimes they're so smart they think they can't figure things out and determine direction from afar.
Next week, John will be talking about command and control and cultural issues with lean in North America. Thank you. Thanks for listening. We are interested in your comments and ideas for future competing podcasts. Please go to leanthinkingnetwork.com.